I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Who Is Survey Working Group call on the 12th of November. On the call today, we have Don Blumenthal, Anne Nafziger, Avery Doria, Wilson Abigaba, Steve Metlitz, Susan Prosser, and hopefully later on, Mikael Jung. We have no apologies so far, and from the staff we have Barbara Roseman, Barry Cobb, and myself, Julia Chavalet. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Great. Thank you, Julia. Welcome, everybody, from our long hiatus while the survey was up and running, which, of course, closed at the end of October. I'm going to kind of wing the beginning of our agenda till Michael shows up, and then we'll hopefully roll up our sleeves and get into some details about how we'd like to move forward with analyzing the results, et cetera. So the first part of our agenda is agenda bashing. Essentially, if there's anything that you'd like to have added to the agenda, please let me know, and we can throw that under new business or make it a part of reviewing the survey results. Because of our break, we don't really have any action items yet. Hopefully, we'll get some at the close of this meeting. And that really kind of takes us into reviewing the survey results. I guess before we get started, and hopefully as a slight stall tactic, I'd like to open it up to the floor to have any general thoughts by the working group members about the survey. I did send out the results as it closed on the 31st, or actually the results are from the 1st of November. There are two PDF files that were sent out. One is only those results where there were completed and submitted responses. And then the second PDF file contains all responses. So in terms of overall stats, we had 67 completed and submitted responses. There were 173 incomplete responses for a total of 240. And I'm going to throw a little caveat on our full responses. I think it was around November 3rd that one participant did complete their survey and submit it. So the PDFs that I sent out now do not include that latest submission. And as we start getting into the details, I'll run fresh reports so that we can ensure that's included in there. With that in mind, I'd also like to point out that of the partial responses saved, we still had we still had 20 saved responses, as to which we had also sent out a specific email to those participants to see if they could complete the survey. By my rough count, I think about six or seven of them completed, and I think there were five or six new ones that were started but never submitted. So with that, does the working group have any general comments about what you've seen with the survey, any feedback from the community in Toronto, and if you've dived into the details of the survey itself. Any thoughts about that? All right.
I mean, as long as nobody else, I'll just fill the air a little bit for a second here. I'm sorry, it's Don. I've had a little bit of feedback all along, including Toronto, which was generally positive. And to be honest, I think 67 is a good return. It was a long survey, and I do know of two people who said they didn't intend to complete it, but ultimately did. So they must have seen some motivation in what we were doing there, which was a nice bit of ratification.
Great. Thank you, Don. That's very helpful. I just finally got a text from Michael. He needs a dial-out. Let me get that started real quick.
Okay. This is Aubrey. I have a question, too, when you
free. But I'm going to have to sign off at 3:30 for some medical tests. Just thought I'd mention it.
Please go ahead, Aubrey.
Okay, yeah, and I've only looked through the report and not read in detail. Are the questions that were left unanswered by the by those that didn't complete just the ones at the end, or are they questions scattered throughout that were sort of looked like they were left for later and just never gotten back to? And you might have that in there, and I just, in my perusal, haven't seen it yet or haven't pulled that out. But
thank you, Aubrey. This is Barry. It's the full spectrum. Some of the responses, I should classify, some of the incomplete responses were several members only filling out the profile and maybe one or two questions on the first page. Some are a scatter of answers throughout the entire survey, and I would probably say less of them, and I don't have the exact stats on those yet, but there's a number of them where there were, you know, they were close to completion, but they never actually submitted hit the submit button to close out the survey, which definitely will provide a challenge, I think, when analyzing the results, just because it's at least the way that the Lyme survey presents the data, and maybe Wilson may have some more background on this. But when we look at the results in the aggregate, it's hard to compare a particular user with what they submitted it within those rolled up results.
There we go. Thanks, Barry, for getting me online. I was really struggling there. I didn't have the U.S. number, and it looks like that's the only one that works for me here in Canada. So thank you.
Great. We went ahead and kicked off the call. We have Ann, Susan, Steve, Aubrey, Don, yourself from the community, and the normal ICANN staff. Basically, we kind of just kicked off the agenda that I sent out in the email. And right now we're deploying a stall tactic until you came online to up to speed. So we were just kind of chit-chatting about the survey, trying to get any feedback that people had heard, like in Toronto and those kinds of things. And just one other final comment, just so that you're on par with everyone else. There were 67 total completed responses. 173 that were partial incomplete that didn't get submitted for a total of 240. I had sent out two PDFs of the results, one that only contains the completed submitted responses versus all the entire population of responses. And basically, Aubrey just asked the question as to what was the nature of the incomplete responses, and it's basically the full spectrum. Several were responses that were basically only the profile was completed and one or two questions were answered. Some of the responses or some of the surveys had responses that were filled in or completed in various parts of the survey as though that they answered the questions that they understood and were going to come back at another time. And then there's a smaller population of responses that were close to completion, but the participant did never finish the survey, and most importantly, they never hit the submit button. And
right.
So I think the wrap-up will be the challenge as to how we decide to review those results. And so with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. It's great attendance today, so I truly appreciate that. you can see in the agenda, and I sent out an example of a testing frame or a test results examination or survey results examination framework. That's just a fairly pragmatic approach, but I'm completely open, obviously, if we want to do something else. Barry, did we start the recording on the call already? Is that taken care of?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So we're in a fantastic place, but I guess, you know, Barry, one of the first things I want to ask, because I really didn't have it in the agenda, is should we discuss a little, why don't we put a quick discussion point before we dig in too far into the agenda. Let's add a point after. We're going to have, now, have we completed Wilson's kind of, in your overview of the results, or do we still need to kind of just go over elements of that? Do you still have more that you want to talk about?
No, this is very more or less completed. I just gave some quick rolled up stats about the number of completed responses, et cetera, but we haven't gotten into the details. And I also have your straw man framework posted up in the Adobe Connect room as well.
Great. So I guess my first question to everybody, I'd like to have us jump into that straw man and start discussing it almost right away so we can get some work organized. I see today is more of a work organization call than us getting too deep into the responses, because there's over 200 pages worth of information in that PDF, and I think it's just we'll never get through it if we go through it page by page as a group. So my perspective on it is divide and conquer. But my first question to everybody is how do people feel about the uncompleted or incompletes on the survey responses? Because my own feeling out of the gate is that given how complex and how long the survey was, and from what I can ascertain from average completion statistics on other surveys, we actually had a really great response rate and a really great completion rate, all things considered. So I'm almost inclined to focus on what we had completed and go from there. How do people feel about that?
This is Steve Metallitz. I think we should look just at the ones that were completed, because the ones that weren't completed, I mean, there might be a lot of reasons for that, but, you know, they're basically a draft, and even the person responding hadn't necessarily approved all those responses. So I don't think we really can make much use of the incomplete responses.
Okay, great.
This is Don. I agree. It would take too much parsing of incompleted ones to try to mind read on whether somebody intended to just fill some out and not others or not. So I'd say let's just draw the line. Submit button, we'll count it. Without it, we won't.
This is Avery. I had my hand up, but obviously that didn't matter.
We were not all on Adobe Connect.
I tend to disagree. I think the way we wrote the questions was very much question per question. Questions didn't really rely on other questions. So perhaps we can do a differential analysis if you take just these questions into account, or if you take all of them. But I think completing the whole thing and registering it is sort of beside the point. And I haven't even looked through the results yet in enough detail to know whether, you know, this helps any particular case or hinders any particular case. But I tend to see the answers as atomic, and taking the answers as put being adequate. So I don't think, you know, that we should waste the work that was done but not complete.
Okay. Well, actually, that gives me an idea, Aubrey, that I might circle back to. But let's see if anyone else has anything more to say. And I'm sorry about the hands up. Some of us aren't on the I'm not on Adobe Connect either, so some of us will just have to depend on Barry to keep us all in order.
This is Ann Nossiger. I agree with Aubrey. I think, you know, especially because there may be some that are almost completed, just missing a few elements, and some that, you know, are missing more. But, you know, if someone happens to have just sort of skipped over a couple, or there was a, not applicable answer and they just didn't check it. I mean, I think that it makes sense to look through them and take the value that we can from them, even if they're not complete.
Okay.
And Susan, I thought if we're able to tell if somebody hit the submit button but not answered every question,
mm-hmm.
is that what the if as long as they hit the submit button, in my opinion, that means that they have committed to the ones that they answered. So it may not be a completed survey, 100% all questions answered, but they completed the ones that they thought relevant to them. So in that case, they are questions that we should consider.
That's a really interesting distinction, Susan. Is there any way we can ascertain that?
This is Steve. I sure had a follow-up on that. I assume when you said incomplete survey, it was one where they hadn't hit the submit button, where they'd saved it and to come back to it. But is that wrong? Or when you say an incomplete survey?
Yeah, this is Barry. It's really a combination of both. For those participants that actually hit the submit button, and I haven't looked into this great of detail yet, but there is probably a strong possibility that not all questions were answered. We only had the very first question in the profile was the only one that was required. So there will be a small percentage or a certain percentage of submitted responses that have incomplete questions, whereas...
When you said there's 67, what are you talking about? You're saying 67 people hit the submit button or 67 people answered every question?
67 people hit the submit button.
Okay. Well, that's...
That's
what I assume that meant, and I disagree that we should take into account at all something where people didn't hit the submit button. You know, I voted last week in the United States, and I had a bunch of... It was an electronic voting system, and I was given a bunch of races to vote in, and at the end I was asked to review my results and hit submit. And even if I had answered every question, if I hadn't hit submit, my vote would not have counted. So I think that's a bright line that we should follow. If they hit submit, then we should take it into account, no matter how many questions they answered or didn't answer. But if they didn't hit it, I just think it's a draft. We don't even know. We can't, you know, even assume that any of those were actually answered.
So Steve, can I make a suggestion to the group? Because I in principle, I agree with you that you have to make some kind of definition of what was an official response and what wasn't. But I think Aubrey's and I think what Susan was saying that there might still be some good information in the incompletes that inform us of something interesting, and it's a shame to waste that if we have it. So maybe what we can do is officially... We won't in our official in the official report, in the sense of the analysis we do in the main body and so forth. Let's focus on the ones that hit submit. But Aubrey and Susan are willing to take this on as an allocated task between the two of them. Maybe they could go through and work with Wilson to look at the incompletes and do a commentary and maybe a little bit of statistical analysis. Summary of statistical analysis of what's in those incompletes, and provide an unofficial commentary that we'll include with the report that just says, you know, on incompletes, unofficially, here's a bit of analysis we did, and here's interesting information that we think we might have ascertained from it, but these are unofficial results.
Aubrey has your hand raised.
Yeah, I guess I just don't buy it. This isn't voting. This is a survey. I don't remember looking up front a big announcement saying, if you don't go back and press the submit button at the end, none of your work will count, and we're going to throw it away. So I tend to think if the question was answered, it was answered, and hitting the submit button at the end is just a formality of this particular method. We're not talking about voting here. You know,
we're
talking about a survey and trying to gather information. And if they answered a question, they answered the question.
So, Aubrey, it's Michael. I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with it. This is why I think we should have some commentary in with it. I do think we have to differentiate between the official analysis and the incompletes. And it's maybe even we can make it a little stronger, but if we do an analysis section, I think we should separate out the incompletes and do an analysis based on the incompletes for the following reason. It's not that it's necessarily as rigid as a voting system and, you know, there are presidencies on the line here, but it is about people self-certifying what they put in. And if we didn't tell them they should hit the submit button, then that was actually a failing on our point because we aren't sure about the incompletes. We just aren't sure if it's the same person who started the survey a couple of times from, you know, one from their personal email address, one from their work email address, who knows. And so there's not even, without the submit button, there's not even a self-certification of that submission. And so it doesn't mean it isn't good information. It just means that we aren't assured of the information in the incomplete.
I have absolutely no problem with us submitting the answers to the same analysis, but differentiating this is the analysis we get if we just include the submits, and this is the analysis we get if we include the incompletes. And basically certainly drawing that line there for anybody that's reading our report to be able to determine. But to relegate it to something where, well, there's the official analysis and then there's the extra comments that two people managed to add in their spare time seems a little bit too much denigration. Certainly splitting the analysis so that it says, you know, we get this picture from those that, you know, officially pressed the submit button, and we get this analysis if we include all data, and, you know, and then see if there's any difference between them, and if there is a difference between them, then that's something that needs to be understood and followed up on somehow. But, you know, I guess I'm not volunteering for an extra homework assignment to come up with another interpretation based on or extra comments based on data that was submitted, but we've decided not to count. Thanks.
Okay.
Has her hand raised.
Go ahead.
One other comment to that. I think the fact that we allowed people to save this, you know, I think may have, you know, I think we should err on the side of looking at that data because people may actually believe that by saving it that, you know, the information they've saved will be reviewed and considered. So there could be a confusion on the part of survey takers because we gave them that capability.
Okay. So, you know, I think we have a bit of mixed responses, and I'm trying to find a way through here where we can find, you know, a consensus-based approach to this. The other thing I'm concerned with, and Barry, I think we do need a little bit of help from ICANN's legal on this, is it would be good to get advice from them on to what degree of, if any, do we have to acknowledge how we treat data from incompletes versus completes. Do they see any issues with that in our analysis and how we recognize the results?
I will ask them. My guess is that they may not have much input for us, especially since we didn't track who was the survey taker. But I will take that action item.
And well, if all their answer back is they don't see any additional liability that I can by doing this, then, you know, or by not differentiating the results, then we're back to the question of how much do we need to differentiate the results. Avi, I think maybe trying to do a conjoined result set. Like, I don't want to make too much work for all of us either, and I don't want to have so many versions of the results that people reading the final report get bored and wander off as well while they're in mid-read. So, you know, I think maybe the happy medium is to, you know, do the results on the completed, do some results in a similar format on the incompletes. The question is whether or not we do a third track where we show what would happen if you considered them all together. I think you could probably get that effect by, you know, doing the completed responses, then after the completed response section, showing what we saw in the incompletes and noting if we think that there were significant differences in the answers we got in the incompletes versus the completes at the same time. That means people are, for each kind of section of questions, people are kind of reading two serialized analysis, you know, a primary analysis and then an additional analysis based on incompletes. And in that analysis, we could comment on whether or not we think we observed that, you know, if you consider the incompletes, it makes much of a difference. I just don't think it would be wise for us to try and do three versions, if that makes sense.
Michael, this is Barry. Just to add on to that, I think for one aspect of it is we need to consider how the analysis will look. For example, is it going to be qualitative statements, or is it a combination of qualitative and quantitative? And if we choose to include the quantitative aspects into the results, then for sure we should only focus in terms of utilizing the numerical aspects of this, that 67% of all respondents said X should be done to who is, then we should only probably confine ourselves to the submitted responses. And then as a footnote to that, that we did perform an analysis on the incomplete responses, and here's some of our findings, noting that that doesn't necessarily affect the quantitative aspect to the recommendation or the result of that analysis. Otherwise, then our numbers will get all over the place. Certainly the submitted responses are valid baseline, for lack of a better word.
Right.
This is Don. I've got to jump off. But real quickly, is in addition to legal, is there anybody within ICANN who has applied survey experience that we can go to and say, okay, what's the practice in the industry in terms of formal submissions or not?
This is Barry. I'll ask that question internally. My gut says no, but I don't know for sure, so I'll ask.
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate it.
Don, I'll volunteer for an action item to do some general industry survey research. And I've got a couple of associates that work in that industry as well, so I can certainly ask them what the standard industry practice is as well.
Yeah, I used to do this kind of work, but it was when I was in college, and I'm not going to discuss how long ago that was. So I just like to remember. So
well,
I'll catch you all next call.
Thank you, Don.
All right.
Aubrey has her hand, please.
Yep. Okay. Obviously, I'm going to be in a minority on this one, and I'll give up. First of all, I doubt that 67 responses are statistically significant anyway. Arguing about the statistical significance of what we're doing is probably minimalist. I think we probably had way too small a sample, but it would take a statistician to look at the whole community that we reached out to and the amount of response we've gotten with the diversity mix that we'll have in the answers to tell whether any of this made statistical sense or not. I doubt it, but that's in terms of the quantitative. I was really seeing that there would be two numbers that, you know, a number that said, on this question, taking into account those that, you know, press submit, 67% said blah. If we take into account all people who answered this question, we see that it comes out to 68%, and not much more complicated than that. And basically just doing a run of the subset and a run of the total and differentiating the two answers. But if that's too much work and it'll make the report too unreadable for people, I recognize I'm in a severe minority, and I'll just, you know, make my minority comments later about the significance of the report. It's no problem.
Yeah. Aubrey, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that approach. I think what I was trying to guide before was that we just need to differentiate, and we need to do so in a format that's not overwhelming to people. I think what you're suggesting is exactly kind of what I had in mind. And I think that that's workable to, and is a reasonable point of compromise. And I think it sounded also like Steve was willing to include those results as long as they're pointed out in such a way. So, you know, I'll ask the entire group, does that, looking down that path, does that make general sense to everybody?
This is Steve. I mean, I think the first way you formulated it was a little better than the second way, but I don't want to make a federal case out of this. I'm fine with some reference to the incomplete answers, but let's just make sure it's clear that those were the incomplete answers, and we don't know whether they actually represent the views of the respondents. But it's grist for the mill. I agree with Aubrey. It's not going to be statistically significant anyway, so there's not any sense in splitting hairs over that. But I think as long as we present the submitted responses and then whatever color or whatever other perspective is added from the incomplete, I'm okay with that.
And since Barry, I'm just going to read Wilson's response in the chat as well, because I think it is pertinent that maybe we can try to filter out some of the meaningless entries. His statement is, regarding the incomplete surveys, it's possible to eliminate tests or meaningless entries. Example, those who filled in only a few questions on the first page. I think we can eliminate such entries and remain with those that are actually filling in the survey and possibly made comments but did not hit the submit button.
In principle, I think that would be fantastic. The cautionary side of me says that we don't have the right to judge where the threshold is. Do we cut them off if they answered 6 questions or 15 or 2? So I guess the only cutoff I'd be comfortable with is if they got past the questions that were about personal profile and answered even one of the main survey questions, then we have to include them in the incompletes. I don't know whether, you know, bright clear line to draw otherwise. Does anyone disagree with that?
This is Barry. I do agree with that. The bright line is not so bright at all. But for curiosity's sake, Wilson, can you maybe take on the action of trying to filter out play with the tool a little bit to filter out some of those incomplete responses, and maybe we can get a better picture just to see what we're dealing with, and then we can make that decision. Because I agree, if they stopped at the profile and they didn't answer anything else, then for sure, then, you know, that can be set aside. But then any other real relevant question in the survey, then, you know, that would remain in the population.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Wilson.
Yep. Go ahead, Wilson.
I will make or try and make make statistics by after eliminating those entries which we think are tests, and also including them, and then we can see that just like Avery suggested, we can see the difference between those statistics, and after we shall decide whether to include them in the final results or not. But it's possible to analyze with them included and with them eliminated. So we shall do both and take a decision from them. And so I'll also share on how I will have eliminated the entries that we think are test entries, like those who just click and then close the survey. I'll say how we shall be eliminating them. So and then we share both statistics and determine what to take, either with them included or without them included. Am I clear?
Okay, sorry, I was on mute. I don't have a good connection, so I'm trying not to give you guys too much background noise. All right. So I guess I go back to the question, is everyone okay if we make the cutoff point, then Wilson, we make the cutoff point, is if they get through the profile and they answer even one of the main questions, then they're in for now. And if they only did the profile questions or didn't finish profile questions, then we won't bother looking at their results because the profile alone doesn't add any value. Is everyone okay with that?
This is Susan, and I think that's a great way of approaching it.
Okay, great. I don't hear anybody else raising objections, so we'll take that as assent and move on. If we're okay on that subject, I'd like to move on to kind of walking everyone through kind of the straw man framework I set up, and obviously it's up for discussion and adjustment, but I just thought I'd start by walking everyone through a division of work to get it done. Okay. Barry, I don't hear anyone wanting to throw anything else in, so we'll go on to that. So what I threw out here was the thought that when I looked through the 200 pages of information, which is a fabulous amount of meaningful information, but also heavy for people to digest, the first thing that crops in my mind is the classic term, executive summary. And then, I also struggle with, as a group, what's our reasonable mandate to provide comments and recommendations based on our interpretation or our reading of the results and the comments, especially the written comments that people made in the results, which is probably the area where I'm worried just as much as anything. So what I suggest we do here is, like we had the survey split up into sections, is that we do section assignments again. We get one or two volunteers. If people want to work in teams, it's fine, but we get at least one volunteer on a section and ask them to, and Wilson, this is assuming you can also help us do some summarization of the question results per section. We start out with what we need each volunteer to do, I think, is to create a, first of all, work with a quantitative summary, which I assume that Wilson can generate automatically once we define what that should look like for each section. Write some commentary of observation based on that quantitative profile or display, assuming it's some type of chart. And then also provide some commentary, read through all the written comments that are in their section, and provide some hopefully fact-based commentary. And by fact-based, I mean rather than interpret what people have said and what they might mean by it, try and derive a commentary or summarize commentary based on what people actually wrote as objectively as possible. And so what that gives us is each section has its own little quantitative summary, qualitative summary, and the commentary that our primary reviewer offers. And then once we've got those written, I would suggest then we do a walkthrough of what each volunteer has prepared to ensure that we feel that all of us feel that those preparations are consistent and represent the groups well. And then at that point, we would draft a executive summary of those sections, as well as discuss any final conclusions that we'd like to offer out as a group. So how do people feel about arranging the work in that type of frame? Am I still on the call?
No. This is Steve. I think basically that I think the straw man you've prepared is a good way to go.
Okay.
Let's try to split this up and have everybody write up something if to the extent they can draw any commentary or conclusions from it. And
Great. Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to be very pragmatic, Steve, and I thought, you know, it's a lot of info. We have to divide and conquer, and creating a section summaries will also help people that want to read the report. Maybe they're not interested in all the sections. Maybe they only want to read the results on one or two sections that are pertinent toward their interest set. So I think that would be useful for them as well as the executive summary. So what I was going to suggest was, rather than us go through and take everybody's time on a call to try and come up with the volunteer assignments, is I was going to suggest that Barry and I could put together a preliminary schedule and suggest volunteers, send the preliminary schedule around, and then if someone would rather have section, you know, 4 versus section 2, or want to make some adjustments here and there, then we can just go back and forth in the list and get that settled out until everybody's assigned out and the work's accounted for. And then Barry and I could probably, because this is all administrative, really, Barry and I could then turn around and suggest a delivery schedule that leads us towards doing the reviews. What I'd like to do is try to parallelize the review effort and the actual writing effort. So some of you whose schedules would accommodate getting your sections done earlier would be the first up for the group to review. And those that have, you know, maybe an opening to do your work a little bit later would be toward the back end of the schedule for us going through as a group. So that makes sense to everybody.
And Aubrey and Susan have their hand raised.
I have a question.
Sure.
Which is there any value, and I don't know whether I agree with what I'm about to say or totally disagree with what I'm about to say, in assigning the same people that wrote the questions the second part, the first step at the evaluation. And I'm just curious about that. You know, giving that some thought and making it easier, as opposed to totally doing new assignments to topics that may or may not be as well understood by the person you're assigning it to. But it's just a thought. As I say, having written the question, you might be absolutely the wrong person to be doing the analysis, and that's why I wasn't sure whether I agreed with what I was saying or not, but I just wanted to throw it on the table to be considered.
Oh, yeah, Aubrey, I think my first response to that is I've got to tell you, would Barry and I would sit down and do the schedule, I think that would probably be the knee-jerk reaction for us to try to sign people out that way as a first go. So I think, go ahead.
This is Barry. I was just going to say I'll take the action to put a chart together of each section and who the original assignee was for that section. Obviously, we've had a few members depart, and then, like you said, Michael, then we can either look to assign it or leave it blank and look for volunteers to help fill the gap.
Yeah, as far as them being the right or wrong person to look at their own work, it's not like we came up with Aubrey, I'd be more concerned with it being the same person in terms of objectivity if, A, we had so many resources that were all experts in the different areas we could afford to be that careful. And secondly, if we had derived all the source materials for the survey, I think it would be more of a concern. But we started with a document that drove our questions. Really what our questions were was an interpretation of existing materials. So I don't feel like we're in any kind of meaningful conflict.
Yeah, no, this is Aubrey again. I tend to agree, and that's why I originally had the suggestion. But in uttering the suggestion, it just occurred to me that perhaps the obverse was true, and so I said that. But obviously my first reaction was that it would be okay.
Okay. So if I, you know, that's where you and I stand. Is everyone else okay with that approach?
This is Susan. I agree with it.
Great. Okay. I have to start asking these things in the negative, I think, so that not everyone has to rhyme up to the phone. Does anyone object to it? I guess I should ask. So, okay, I don't hear any objections. And Susan, thank you for that. So I think, Barry, you and I will do it that way initially.
Sounds good. And this is Barry. I'll also take the action item to, I'll be the first to volunteer. I'm going to take the profile section. My reason for doing that is that I'll create a template for each of the assigned groups to work from, so that we have a standard template that then we can fold all into the final report.
Okay. So where are we in the agenda then, Barry, after that? We've got some action items there, but I just want to do a check on where we are in the
Essentially, that's it, except for moving into new business and just review the action items. But I think we reviewed through your straw man from top to bottom.
Okay. So, Barry, you just want to, I think the action items then, I'll throw off the ones I have in my head. If I missed any, just throw them against. But before I do that, does anyone have anything else they want to raise or bring up or that falls into new business?
This is Steve Metallis. I really just have one point to raise that we should keep in mind as we do this, and I don't know the answer to the question, but who do we think is the main audience for this report that we're preparing? Is this?
Well, it was requested by the GNSO Council, so I'm assuming that is our initial audience, and then, of course, when you say the GNSO Council, you really are talking about everybody and anything that's involved with the stakeholder model, and ICANN could potentially be reading it. We tried to get participation from outside of ICANN, so there'll be a number of stakeholders from outside of ICANN. They'll probably read this in particular. Like, I'm thinking of the ITF folks that are working on WIRDS and so forth right now, which is kind of next generation of boost protocol. So, but I think initially the be who requested it, which was the council.
Okay, it's just something we should keep in mind as we prepare it. You know, who's going to be reading it? And I'm glad you mentioned the IETF because this was discussed in Toronto. They did not seem to be aware that this survey had been launched, or at least their chair did not. So I think it's useful to keep them in mind, potential audience.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I'm a little exasperated by that one because Don raised it in the WIRDS list a few times. I raised it a couple of times, not wanting to, you know, supplant Don's effort because that was his role he was tasked with. But I just didn't feel like enough people were listening to it. And, it sounds like, from what you experienced, not enough people were listening to it. I'm not exactly sure how we, short of standing on a table at the IETF meeting, lighting my hair on fire, how we get people's attention. So, okay. I struggle with that one. I think it's just, you know, the reality is with a group like the IETF, it's almost all volunteers and people have day jobs, and trying to get them to pay attention to things is challenging because they're overtaxed as a resource to start with, generally speaking.
Okay, I don't have any solution to it, but I guess this is something we should bear in mind as we prepare this report.
This is Aubrey. Anything we want to...
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, on the IETF, anything we really want to say, if we have results, we put them in an internet draft, and we submit it as an internet draft. And we can say in the internet draft that it's the results that come from this group. You know, yeah, we can do liaison-type things, too, but an internet draft sent to that group asks that group to pay attention to it. It's about as close as you can get to standing on the table and shouting.
You know what, Aubrey, that's a great idea. It's a lot of work formatting into an ID.
Not that hard.
Would you be willing to help with that?
I'd certainly, as someone who's done far too many internet drafts, I'd be willing to help do that, yeah. I mean, basically,
awesome.
Once you start using the XML formats, it's really not hard at all.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. So, yes, that would be great. And hopefully yeah, that would definitely draw a higher degree of attention. That's a great idea. Okay. It almost makes me wonder if you want to get their attention just to announce something in the future. You could do an announcement as a ID as well. But,
no, I think an ID, if you want it to be taken seriously, has to be contentful.
Right, right. So we can do it with the result, which is, yeah, we have to do the hand waving when we want to get them to do the survey, but the ID will work for the result. Okay, great. That's a great idea. So Barry, can you capture that just so we don't forget to come back to that when we're done with the report?
Got it.
Okay. So action items. Anyone have anything else? Sorry. Okay, so action items. Barry and I are going to go away and draw up an assignment, a preliminary assignment with a preliminary suggested schedule. That won't be finalized until we hear back from everybody. So I would ask that you try and respond quickly so we can at least finalize the schedule. And based on when people deliver their sections, Barry and I will do an additional schedule that will take us through suggested meeting times to do the walkthroughs and suggested time allocation to produce an executive summary and final conclusions, again, which will first be produced in a draft form for us to go through and agree to and finalize with the group. But I think we still have a lot of work ahead of us, but I think personally, I'd really like to see if we can't square this away and have it all zipped up well before the next ICANN meeting so people can be actually discussing the results that we put out by the next ICANN meeting.
We want to do that. I recommend doing some backward scheduling and setting us a bunch of dates with that being the end date so that we have targets to meet.
Aubrey, you sussed out our evil plans. Yes,
sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is Barry. I concur with the backward dating scheduling. I'd just like to remind the working group, I think from the charter, we were originally supposed to have this done in October. Then I tried to adjust the schedule so that we had this complete by the end of the year before holidays, but that really only leaves us 5 meetings left. So if we do choose to target beginning of April or before that, we probably ought to have some communication to the council once we get the schedule together so that we can update the council with where we're at.
Yeah, Barry, I suggest we get the schedule together. We commit as a group that we can make that schedule, and then we talk to the council because, I don't want to have to do a reset with them again.
Who's
simple.
Our liaison?
What's that, Aubrey?
Who's this group's liaison to the council?
I believe
it was Wendy.
Uh-huh.
And she's still on the council, so I'll send a note to her. Just to confirm, but yeah, I agree. We shouldn't communicate to the council till we write our schedule and so.
Right, I'm only quasi apologetic for being late on this, Barry, because I don't think very many working groups, first of all, have as much real physical work we've all had to do. Some of them do. But not that many have as much hands-on work that this group's had to do. And then none of them have had to live through the new GTLD program going on while they're trying to get their work done. So it is what it is when we're talking about people's time and volunteering.
This is very understood. So now that we are on the topic of schedule, right now we have a meeting scheduled for next Monday, the 19th, which is an American, the Thanksgiving starts on a Thursday. Do we still want to try to have a session on Monday, as well as the 26th being the week after Thanksgiving? And I'd like to remind the working group that there is a policy retreat that'll be going on that week. So the working group's welcome to have a meeting, but there probably won't be staff support for that.
Barry, why don't we take that, well, I don't think that it makes any sense to border the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday with meetings, given how it's probably the most major holiday in the U.S. And people travel around it extensively. Certainly the Monday afterwards is going to have very poor attendance. And I think that the next leg of work and getting all the scheduling and stuff in place between you and I is stuff we can do on the list and individual phone calls to members of the group to get that ratified. And then, so I think we're talking the next meeting being probably 2 or 3 weeks out from now. And at that point, we're probably going to go into a heavy-duty schedule to get this done. But I'd rather plan it out before we start throwing out meeting dates.
Okay, sounds good. So just in terms of getting the next call scheduled, I'll look to do that for the 3rd of December. So that gives us 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, basically.
Okay, and so really just to set everyone's expectation, that first call back will be going through one or more of the sections that people have done their work on by that point. That would be the expectation. That starts off a series of working calls where we're reviewing these section summaries and ratifying them. Okay. Right, Barry, one last call. Anyone else have anything to say? Okay, hearing nothing, thank you, everyone, for your time. This is, as always, a lot of work, and we're making progress, slow and painfully, but we are making progress. So, and we're in the home stretch now, so I'm looking forward to getting the results out. Thank you, everyone, for your time and effort.
Thanks.
Thank you all. Take care.
See you all.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.